see if that's working. Sweet. I've got levels. Y'all say something. See if we've got
can
levels.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, y'all are driving levels. Sweet. The script that Ricky wrote, the mic line in, is not working. When I kick it from the song intro to the mic line in, it just blows away. Doesn't even get, yeah. So I end up having to put my own in there. So it works however you do it, I guess, huh? As long as it works. It's a praise God. I didn't have to wait on
Team Viewer to pop in, Ricky with a phone call.
Shaking out some technical help from Arizona.
Ambulance coming.
Oh. Woo, 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 woo. Oh, Lordy. You know, Steve talking about being smaller in your own eyes. Yeah, man. Getting smaller every day, too.
There's I'm gonna shut up.
You know, go. Go.
No, there's a song that's called Smaller and Smaller and Smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Just remind me of that. Like, actually, you should have shut up. I'm not important.
That was very helpful. Oh, brother.
Here, we had a neighbor running a saw this morning right next to us, and now they've got guns going off in the gun range next door. I mean, just firing away. It's incredible.
I'm surprised you're not tempted to go over there and start shooting.
I hate
at the gun range, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'd be like, oh my goodness.
Rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like the woods.
She likes to write the rules herself.
Yeah.
Would that be like, Philip, go put on this full body armor and go run?
shooting trees in half and stuff.
You know, I would be down for that. I just need a fully automatic belt-fed 308.
Wasn't it Rambo that cleared the forest one time?
You know, guys, this is the hour.
Oh my God. The Mini 14. Anyways, and, come to find out, it shot the darn tree right in half.
Oh wow.
So that'll do a job. Yeah, after you put a clip through, I mean, the tree's gone. You just hear crack and here it comes.
That's a new way I can start clearing some land. A little expensive, but hey.
Yes, it is.
Hey, but that's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is the hour of truth, so I guess we need to reel it in.
It is sort of presumptuous for me to keep calling it the hour of truth. It's one of many. It's in the middle of a block that when, you know, things are working, it's all truth. So it's not a program I named. I kind of inherited it. So there you go. I don't have any particular thing on the radar. Is there anything anybody wants to talk about?
You mean you want me to think?
Yeah, that would be a refreshing change.
Okay. I'll put my thinking cap on.
Oh, brother.
Well, I mean, we can start off. I mean, you guys, y'all hear anything this morning in services or anything that lights up? Anything that has, you know, that comes to mind on anything? I'm the one asking because I'm not really have much going on myself.
Well, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but what Steve was saying about grace and the wrong ways to understand grace, I really was pretty surprised, but I did have a very good teacher who made those things real clear from the get-go, so there was no time to build some wrong thinking about it. So I praise God about that, but it does surprise me. I wouldn't even have gone that way in my mind to see, you know, that someone had trouble like that.
Yeah, grace is there to cover us as we move forward in the Lord and our screw-ups, not to stay where we are and just continue.
Right. I mean, that kind of goes, I mean, reminds me of that as Romans, you know, that may I sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Right.
No, it's for you to get back up and go forward in Him again.
Right. The ultimate end is to learn, not just keep, you know, having a built-in excuse so you can keep on doing whatever you want.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's interesting because I got the Kinect where, you know, you guys played it where your body's the controller. And, you know, it's actually a pretty cool games that we play. I got a new Kinect game and I play it with the girls. And it's, I watched them play and I know, you know, Raylan sometimes will have a hard time and she'll start playing and she'll be losing. Now, Raylan, I can understand it being frustrating because it doesn't pick her up that well, but regardless, what she'll do is she'll get faint and just hang her arms down and then she will, you know what I mean? And she doesn't, and you know, and I'm trying to encourage her, look, like, you're gonna mess up. You know, she was playing skinny. You're gonna mess up. You might hit a gate, but don't pay attention to the gate you just hit. Just move forward. Look to what's coming at you next. You know what I'm saying? And to, you know what I mean? To keep going. Pick yourself back up. Don't worry about it. That's already passed. That's already happened. Let's go forward. Let's go forward now. And, you know, trying to encourage her to keep following through and not just give up on the whole game altogether.
Well, in the Lord, we let the enemy beat us about our failures and, listen to him tell us how we're not worthy and all that. Of course we're not. Of course, you're going to screw up and screw up and screw up until you're not doing it anymore. And that's just the way that works. That's, unfortunately, that's how we're programmed to learn. But, as you watch these children grow up, that's becomes evident. That's the process we go through. It's not a pleasant process sometimes. It's great as long as, you're either doing the right thing or A or B, you're not getting caught. So. But, not good for you if you're not getting caught because you need to be corrected, but you don't see it as that at the time.
Amen. Well, you can't look back. I mean, the past is only as good as, you know, what you can glean for information to adjust and do better, you know, next time.
Absolutely.
But, you know, to keep score, I mean, that's really getting into pride.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's whether you're winning or losing, you know, that's just, you know, pride. And it really is, nobody needs to go there. I think I thoroughly investigated that whole area. Kind of like a dummy who keeps touching that hot stove anyway.
You know, I mean, the enemy's MO is to kill, steal, and destroy. It tells us that in scripture. And, you know, I mean, all those things that the enemy can throw at you, I mean, you know, one of the things you said, Paul, was, you're not worthy, you know. Well, of course. You know, kind of like Steve was up there saying, because you're small. Well, of course. But what we don't stand in our smallness. We don't stand in our unworthiness. No, we stand in Him. I mean, He's worthy, and He is able.
Yeah.
And that's where we choose to walk in belief in what He is able to do and accomplish to the glorifying of Him. Because there ain't nothing we can do. It's all about what He can do. And
it's left up to for us to do. We're basically toast anyhow.
Exactly. I mean, anything that you do in the operation of the outside of the will of God that you think is of any use is actually isn't. I mean, the obedience to the Lord is the only thing that's going to carry forth fruit.
It's going to bring forth fruit.
What's that?
It's going to bring forth fruit.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's going to bring forth fruit. Anything outside that is not. Anything on the outside of the operation of Him is not.
Well, it's a real basic truth that we're so wired in. It's naturally wired in for us to please ourselves. The fundamental truth is that, you know, we're spending all this time trying to learn how to please the Lord. And it's so easy to get derailed. And forget that's what it's about. Just lose
focus.
Focus, yeah.
And, you know, it's really going back. I mean, when we had Our Truth a couple weeks ago, go back to, you know, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, I serve you. And when you seek to go about doing that, we can lose focus so easy on that's what we're here to do. Do what the Father would have us do. And we, you know, I love that song, where it says, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've made it when it's all about you.
Made it all about me.
Right. And that's what you're repenting. And what you're doing, that song is a repenting song. Lord, I've made this thing all about me. I'm sorry for making it that way. But Lord, it's all about you. And, you know, I mean, it was interesting, something that Brad had shared, I think it was Thursday night. And the fact of when, you know, you come into the place of ministering to something and he was kind of talking about, you know, it's like you don't come to a place when you go minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not, well, I can go minister the gospel of Jesus Christ because, you know, I didn't yell at my kids a day and I did such and such and I did such and such. He goes, no, a lot of times you minister, you know, you just have a absolute big screw up. And then you go and minister because at that time, and what does it say? You know, and it reminded me of Davey's sermon last Sunday where he says, you know, it takes, you know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, because that is the trying of faith where you have to stand in the grace of Christ Jesus and stand in Jesus.
Believe His word. Believe it's true.
And believe it's true. And in that place, I mean, cause quite frankly, I mean, when you don't fall, I mean,
your faith hasn't been tried.
Your faith hasn't been tried there. I mean, if you don't fall, you're not exactly.
You have to believe.
Right. And it's in that place where you actually minister from. And it's interesting.
When you're caught dead to rights and you got nothing.
Right. I mean, you look at the prayer of Psalm 51, yep, where, you know, David says, you know, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and hope uphold me with thy free spirit. And then he goes, then I will teach transgressors thy ways.
Because I will have learned them myself.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He humbled himself.
That would be the hope of all that. Yeah, that's the end you're looking for.
Amen. And what he is has first-hand experience of grabbing onto the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. First-hand experience. And that which you can share to others that need it, that will receive it. You know, it's interesting. I remember Davey telling me something. And, you know, it was one of those times where I had fallen. It was like, I've fallen, I can't get up. And one of those things that it's, you know, some calling in the ambulance, you know, Davey. Woo, woo, woo. And he starts sharing to me about, you know, he's in a revival and he had made a mistake and he was just really, and he can correct me if I'm wrong on this story. I know it's his story, not mine, but, this is the gist that I got out of it. And he said, you know, it was during a revival. I did something, you know, stupid, you know, messing around and I felt like crap. I absolutely felt like, you know, he wanted to actually not go and do the revival. The Lord told him to go and do it anyways. He's in the middle of a revival. And it was that night that more, the most people came. It was that night, the most amount of people that came. It was that night was the most moving night out of that whole revival. And what the Lord had showed him, that it wasn't him at all doing it. He had to trust solely and on the grace of Jesus Christ and choose to stand in that. And what was the Lord was able to do.
And what was and that he moved. In the meeting was of the Lord and not of Richard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And see, that's how the grace of the Lord works. But Davy had to choose to go and stand and be obedient unto the Lord, regardless.
Just like David had to still be king.
Exactly.
He was.
Exactly. You know, I mean, we all have our own experience in some of these things, so. And that's being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Well, the Lord is a redeemer, too.
Amen.
So
absolutely.
So we get up and we do something wrong, he's, you know, you just have to keep going and trust that he is going to, you know, teach somebody something out of it. I mean, if I get up there and I say something totally wrong, then I have to stand there and just trust that the Lord will teach somebody, you know, that this is a don't be. You know what I'm saying? It's just be willing to let the Lord use you, in other words.
Amen. And expect for the redemption. Having had the experience of knowing his redemption. You know, expect that redemption. I mean, I know where I have screwed up, many times. And I remember this one particular time, talking with Steve. But I remember having to absolutely just trust in the redemption of the, you know, that the Lord would redeem all the mistakes that I had made, all the bad choices that I had made. And, you know, sure enough, he did. And quite frankly, there's a big redemption, I mean, going on right now in my life. And I praise the Lord for it. Absolutely praise the Lord for
absolutely.
It. I mean, and I'll just kind of share that with you guys. Well, you know, I made a bad choice to do a no call, no show at work and, before the minister's convention. And what that costed a lot, but it was a good and a humbling experience that quite frankly the Lord used anyways. And what had happened was that, you know, I went to another stores for a good amount of time. Then I ended up going back to the store that I was originally managing at, and I was assistant manager there. Then I was under a couple of people. Through that was many good lessons that the Lord used for me. And how he set it up was beautiful. And now they're giving me opportunity to be store manager there. As far as head tire manager in that store. And you know, it's an exciting thing for me. And I know that there's a lot of groundwork. I know it's very challenging, but I know it's opportunity for the Lord to move. But that is just a story of redemption in my life where that was all the Lord. That Amen. Was all the Lord. And I praise him for it and it humbles me. And, you know, I mean, that's where the Lord can even use our mistakes, where the Lord uses our mistakes, our screw-ups, our bad choices, and can still flip those.
Well, we're willing to turn them loose and walk away from them.
Right.
He can use them to his glory.
To his glory, absolutely. And you've seen that in action, and it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing.
Yes, it is. And praise God for it. You know, you can Amen. Trust the Lord, you know, to do good to you. You can absolutely trust him. And it's just, in the world, you can't. It's like looking for justice in the world. It's just not here. It is not present.
It's just us. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and the Lord. That's all. All is working.
And that's exactly right. I forget it was something that, something brought up about somebody's testimony. Or something happened to a fella, and he, like his wife, it was a doctor, but she got in trouble on a certain front and was gonna, but she was gonna lose her job. But, you know, he's like, man, I can't believe that this is gonna happen. You know, I thought, you know, I thought things wouldn't be this way. You know what I mean? I can't believe. But they
could see you were doing anything wrong.
Right. And the trying of his faith was at hand there. And they put their trust and faith in the Lord and all that thing. I mean, all she got was a verbal discussion on it. And look, I mean, that's a praise the Lord. But we don't need to also be shocked at certain things. I mean, we're coming into this world, and if we're not of this world and they hated Jesus, they're going to hate us. I mean, the world loves its own. So, it's not necessarily, coming from, the world loves its own. I mean, if you're doing what the enemy wants you to do, shoot, he wants to leave you alone. He wants you to do his thing and that line of destruction that he has. But if you're for the Lord's thing, the world is not going to like it. And the world's the enemies. And, you know, keeping that in mind, be of good cheer, though. Jesus says, I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And that's what we trust, and that's what we put our faith in.
You're going to partake of that overcoming, or you're going to be mowed over by it.
Right. Right. And there's too many times I know, on a personal level, I let myself get mowed over by it.
Well, it's just kind of stupid to be surprised, you know, when people don't like you out here. Because that's what the Lord says. If you put on the mind of Christ and you're doing his bidding, then it's not going to like you. So just expect it. You know,
yeah.
If you're getting kudos from the world, you know you're doing something wrong, according to him.
Because the world loves its own. But at the same time, there are going to be hearers standing in the victory of Jesus Christ. There are going to be people that see to the glory of God that can get on board with what's going on. I mean, this whole thing that, the whole thing with work and all these things, this is for people to actually see how the Lord works, and can partake of it, you know. And, you know, as you stand for him, there's a lot of fruit going on that you might not even know about that is reaching out to others.
Oh, that's a big amen. I have seen that happen so many times. You know, I have sat there in the tent before when we had the tent revivals, when Davey was preaching, and I was absolutely, my face was flame. And I thought for sure he was up there talking specifically to me, you know. But he wasn't.
Well, I thought he was too.
I thought he was too. I know Rick, I thought personally was like, man, every week he's like, personally, man, just get me down, you know?
That's not what I mean. I thought he was talking about Gail too.
Oh, he thought it was Gail too.
Oh, thanks, brother. You know, I was back here just giving my hubby what for in those days too, because I thought he was spying on me and calling up the ministry and telling on me. I was so flipping mad at him.
And he didn't do a thing wrong. This is all this thing.
He did plenty wrong. Just that wasn't one of them.
Oh, well, that was not one of them anyway. You know, here you're convicting of himself of something he didn't even do, you know. And it's funny how that is. And I mean, and quite frankly, what I think that happens with that, Gil, is that it's actually conviction on our own part, where the truth is just being told, but personally we're convicted. You know, and so then we go off justifying ourselves, and then we get all this strong delusion, because we're not wanting to cling unto the truth, but rather justify ourselves. So we get this strong delusion in our minds that not even there, not even the case. And, you know.
Yeah, my strong delusion was, Scott's a jerk.
I'm not so sure that was wrong.
Well, maybe for For what it was, she was convincing him of evil of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get what you mean. We're all jerks. I mean, let's face it. That's what I'm talking about. That's an underlying thing, but.
Goes without saying.
Yeah, exactly.
But some of us still enjoy saying it.
Oh, poor guy didn't do a thing though. It was just the look on his face when I think back on it. Oh my gosh. He just looked so, his eyes were great big, you know, he looked like a deer in the headlights. He hadn't done anything. And I was stomping up and down mad.
I can see it now. Oh me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where later on you hang your head down and you just, oh my goodness, I can't believe I did that.
I'm almost tempted, because we have veered off of what subject we were talking about. I'm going to tell you about how my week works. I've been seeing these advertisements for KFC Go Cups with the potato wedges and the chicken tenders. So, $2.50, not such a bad deal. Let me go try one of those out. And, of course, I'm eating it in the car. Driving, eating it in the car. Because it's a go-kart. And as I'm sitting here chomping on the potato wedge, a piece of my tooth comes out.
On a potato wedge?
I think it got knocked loose by the less than meaty tenderloin.
Only you, Paul.
Because the pain that started getting inflicted on my teeth, I said, you know, chewing like this is not supposed to be painful like this. And it wasn't painful a moment ago. So, you know, I spit out what's in my mouth, and I see all kinds of bits and pieces of stuff that is not chicken. Or at least is not chicken breast.
Oh, dear.
I see chunks of cartilage and pieces of bone. And I'm the only one who finds the bones in stuff that ain't supposed to have bones in it. I find glass and spaghetti sauce. I don't understand how this is working, but there's somebody out there who's trying to see to it that I do not have any teeth in my head. So, of course, that happens after the dentist office is closed on Friday. Anybody else have those kinds of experiences, or is it just me?
I thought there was going to be a point to that.
There is.
Enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy.
That's it. That's the one.
Right. He's after Paul's teeth now.
Anyway, you know, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And these, if the world hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. He endured some tribulation.
Amen. We call our little experiences tribulation, but look at what he had to go through.
Absolutely.
And the apostles. My goodness.
Whereas we might deserve it, he didn't.
Oh, I definitely deserve it.
But beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. This is what happens. This is how it works.
And you're in 1 Peter chapter
5, verse 12.
No, you mean 4 verse 12, correct? Because 5 is over here.
4, 12. Yeah.
4 verse 12.
Thought you said 4. Never mind. You're trying to cast deflect error on somebody else, and it comes out right anyway. Dang it! I hate it when that happens. I guess that should teach me. not to deflect. I might have misspoke that. these things are going to happen. If you're going to seek to follow Jesus Christ and do the things that Jesus Christ did, then it's gonna anger the enemy. And, you don't be surprised when the world starts hating on you. But, you know, the upside of that is, it doesn't start in the next verse. It says, rejoice! Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You want to be the partaker of that.
Now that's something I'm going to have to work on, the rejoicing part. I can do it, looking back on it, I can do it. But when I'm in the midst of it, I really need to work on that rejoicing.
I think we all do, and the rejoicing can come from the perspective that we need to have during the fiery trial. I mean, because if we can just hang on to this perspective, and guys, so call me and remind me that I'm saying this. but if we can hang on to the perspective, because, you know, you take a look at the fiery trial. One that is trying your faith, that your faith could be perfected in what God is able to do and will do, what he's done and what he's able to do. And what you have is not just that for the strengthening of the faith to put it in him where it belongs. I mean, because we're all given a measure of faith, but we put it in so many different things. And it helps us take that measure of faith and put it back in him. And then the other thing that is, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But what happens is Satan overplays his hand all the time. And that's what he uses to kill, steal, and destroy is that which God takes and flips it up on his own head, and it gives glory to him, and it works out to be abundantly we can above ask or think. I mean, you take that situation where my wife was not my wife, that situation where I had no job, and she was pregnant, and we weren't married, and she had a kid as well, and I am just a beat-down, broken, drug addict that didn't commit to anything in his life. You're talking about a terrible situation for everybody all the way around. But, and the enemy wanted us not to work, let me tell you. He wanted that to be a terrible situation. He wanted it to be where it be detrimental to Hope, to Briley, to Raylan, who wasn't born yet, to me. That's what he wanted, but the Lord flipped that situation upside down, and I'm blessed with a mighty family now. And I have a love for my wife that is great, and my wife has a love for me that's great, and the Lord has taken us and made us a family. And has provided for us. And it's a testimony of how good he is. And that was all by his provision and what he was able to do. Surely heck wasn't mine. And that's where we can be that when his glory shall be revealed, we may be glad and also with exceeding joy. Because we know that thing, which the enemy is using to kill, steal, and destroy, that when the Lord shines his glory, he can take that thing and flip it upside down on his head where he gets the glory.
You know what? I have to say something here, though. There are times when we're busy pointing the finger at the devil when it's not really the devil who is, you know, upsetting our day. When it's really our very own flesh.
Amen.
And the fact that we're given into it. I've had, you know, times past where, you know, I have pretty much lived in that for an entire day and just been made utterly miserable, really by nobody but myself. You know, just trying to find every little thing that could annoy me, you know, and making lists and counting it twice, you know? And, instead, you know, I actually have found that to counteract that kind of thing, I try actively to list my blessings every day now. You know, the fact that, you know, it sounds like a mantra, but it's not. The fact is that I have everything that I need and most things that I want. So
amen.
I really have no complaint, period. Unless I just want to get into complaining.
Amen. And that's a good point. And you know, when you're talking about, it's talking here about the fiery trial, which is the triune. And you know, I'm looking at, you know, I look at the, you know, Daniel was actually talking about this morning. And the thing that came down and the circumstances that came unto him was one was he had faith in the Lord to flip that thing upside down. Now, he could have walked away, and we all have that choices when this fiery trial comes. I mean, we all have that choice, whether it be by our flesh, whether it be by our own doing. I mean, because I tell you, that situation with Hope was by my own doing. I mean, the enemy didn't, I mean, Satan didn't go and get Hope pregnant. I did. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The enemy didn't, I mean, look, I went outside of God's will. It's nobody's fault but my own. And that's why we were in that situation. But even in that, I mean, that's where the Lord redeems. But with this, when that situation comes, I mean, Daniel could have very easily said, well, man, this is just an unfair situation. This is just not fair. And I'm just not, you know, I guess I'll just lay here and die. I mean, that essentially could have been the choice that he made, but he didn't make that choice. He made that choice to stand in what the Lord was able to do.
It says, he believed the Lord was going to show up for him.
Absolutely.
He expected him to.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's a situation where, you know, Daniel to get in, and a lot of us get our own self in the situation. But even in those, we can trust the Lord to redeem and restore and move forward. And if there's correction and repentance on a part that needs to be done, we need to seek that out for sure.
Amen. You know,
but not as a fact to, not as a point to sin and do it again, but as a point to learn and go forward, see where your fault was and to go forward and what he would have you do and to handle it better. And let
right.
him redeem and
the
restore.
We have breaks. We have breaks. We can put on the brakes in a day like that and just stop and start all over again. You know, begin again with the right attitude. You don't have to because you're in it over your head doesn't mean you have to, you know, just give into it for the day. You can stop.
Amen.
You stop. You walk away from it, turn your back on it, and you can go forth in grace, guiltless.
Amen. And that's the point. I wanted to get to, because you can stop and you can just, because quite frankly, when we're in those bad moods and in those bad situations, a lot of time we're looking and blaming. You know, this isn't going this way, this isn't going that way, or, you know, maybe not looking and blaming, but we're just, you know, I don't know. I mean, we're frustrated.
No, you were right. That's what we usually do, is try to blame somebody
something.
Else.
Yeah, it's somebody else's fault for this thing happening this way.
The first thing I passed ever in my life, the first test I passed was learning how to pass the buck.
Pass the what?
Pass the buck.
Pass the buck. I got you. Well, exactly. I mean, that's a natural thing to do, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But that's where we stop and we go, you know what, Lord, it's not anybody's fault that I have this type of attitude but mine. And you can go to the Lord with, Lord, I'm struggling with this attitude. I know it's not right. I know it's not of you. Lord, please forgive me. And Lord, just give me a heart and attitude that is pleasing to you, because I don't have it. I mean, you can go to the Lord just like that. Just open and honest. I mean, that's really where we need to be with him. Anyway.
He's never let me down when I've put the brakes on like that and repented and, you know, just, pleaded to the Lord to, you know, forgive me and to help me to turn around and get set right, you know.
Yeah,
and he's just never let me down.
And you're right. It's when you actually get honest. But if you're still hanging on to that blame, or you're still hanging on to justification, don't think for a second that that's going to be honored either.
It's not going to jump out of your hands. It's not going to leave you, you know, without you actively and willingly putting it down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And coming to that. Right. And coming to the knowledge of the truth of really what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And that's a place where the Lord meets you. I mean, let's look at David. I mean, David wrote, "Create in me a clean heart." He wouldn't be writing, "Creating me a clean heart," if his heart wasn't dirty.
That's right.
I mean, and here's King David. And the testimony of David is, a man after my Lord says it's a man after my own heart. But he's telling the Lord, confessing the Lord, "Create in me a clean heart." Because the natural state of man is unbelief.
I'm screwed up.
There's an evil heart of unbelief. And that's the natural state of man. And David knew that. And he knew the only way to get rid of that was going to Jesus. And going to the Lord. That could change that. And that's how we need to come before him. But he came to him saying, "My sin is ever before me." He came to him, "Don't be confused when thou judgest. I'm telling you, I'm guilty. I did this." You know, did he restore David? Absolutely. Well, and he'll restore everybody else too. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm running my mouth.
But anybody can avail themselves of that with the same process David went through.
Amen. Amen. That's what I'm saying. It's available.
Yeah.
To everybody. Isn't that the point of the gospel?
Yeah, and it's not a thing that shuts off at a certain time. It doesn't close like the store or whatever. I mean, that is available to you all the time. You can stop with a bad attitude at any time and take responsibility and turn away from it and be forgiven and walk in grace.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I have a little saying that I use for myself to remind me. You know how we're not to stand there and blame everybody else and judge everyone else lest we be judged? When you point your finger at somebody else, look down. You've got three more fingers pointing right back at you. It's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, and it's right there in front of you every time you do it.
Yeah.
The Lord gives us lots of things in the natural that are good reminders. And I think that's one of them. I mean, he could have given us more fingers, but no, he gave us that amount so that if we are pointing, we do have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost pointing right back.
James, it sounded like you were going to say something earlier, and I don't know if you got to it, bro.
I was just going to say, you were talking about David, you know, and David acknowledged that he was a sinner and that he had messed up, and all he could do was ask for forgiveness and believe that the Lord forgave him and move forward. He didn't stay there.
Absolutely. And you know, the proof of that movement forward was where he trusted and in the grace and he moved forward. I mean, he did the same thing Abraham did in the sense of walking in that obedience to the Lord, was that he was still king after that. And he still stood. I mean, he lost his kingdom for a time, but he came back as king. And he That's what the Lord wanted him to do. You didn't see David said, well, I screwed up. I'm sorry. I'm giving up my throne. No, the Lord still had him as king. And by it showed that he did trust in God's grace by him still standing in the as king.
Yeah, amen. You know,
do you know what I'm saying? Right. Satan wants us to give up.
The Lord wants us to put it behind us and move forward.
Absolutely. He wants us to learn from it and go forward, understanding the fullness of his grace and his gospel.
And that's the grace Steve was talking about today.
Amen.
Not to think that you can just stay in the same place and keep relying on grace.
Amen. And I mean, what do we have to say? I mean, we got Samson as well is another one that did that in his own death. He killed more Philistines and the judgment of God was on more Philistines in his death than he was ever alive. I mean, and all those things. I mean, let me just go on and go to Hebrews and go down the list there. I mean, but that is also, I mean, when you have that testimony of the Lord's grace and mercy upon you, which is a continual thing and a continual working, and the better you grasp that, the easier it is to give it and to let people know about it and tell them the truth that they may have partake of that same grace which is given. And that was the point. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways.
Well, that's the testament that we can give is to, if we believe God, then just 100% believe Him and live it. You know, that is the testament of our lives in Christ if we live it. You know, whether people are looking at you or not, you know, and sometimes you're seen without knowing that you're seen. You know, so, you just have to believe that God is that righteous, that perfect, that loving, that he will do as he said. He doesn't want to be a mystery to us.
Yeah. And you know, you come in from that place. I mean, you come in from that place of the knowledge of his grace. So, I mean, look, if he had grace on me, he can have grace on you too. I mean, it's a place, I mean, you know, I'm think of, you know, let, you know, where Philippians, let other esteem, you know, I mean, you have Paul, the apostle Paul, who's given revelation by Jesus Christ personally. Yet what he considered himself a chief of sinners and knew that it was only by God's grace. Look, if the Lord's grace was on me, which I was persecuting the church, definitely his grace can be on, you can partake of his grace too, and it's open and available to you right now.
Yep. Right.
And Stephen extended grace to Paul.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Stephen just not did that just for Stephen. I mean, did it for the whole group that was involved because he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. But what he was doing was absolutely of the Lord. And he knew
Paul was a fruit of that.
That's right. What's the matter, Paulie?
I just had one of those thoughts that I need not share.
Did I screw up something?
No.
I will then. Am I off somewhere?
I'll say something that is probably a little late for bringing, you know, adding this into the discussion, but maybe we can continue it next time. And that is, you know, I have been questioned by people before, you know, why is it that, you know, now that they are living a Christ-like life and that they believe God, why are, you know, some of these things from their past coming back on them? And, you know, they want to blame God for not keeping his word when in reality, is some fruit, you know, from some of the things that we have sown. And it's not added on. It's not, we're not being punished. You know, there's just fruit from some of the seeds we've sown.
Exactly. I mean, and the scripture, that is true, though. I mean, it still proves God's true. it still proves his word, because what does the scripture say?
Amen.
I mean, what you sow, you shall reap.
Amen.
And so, sometimes we sow a bunch of bad seed, and we go about, it doesn't mean that the Lord can't redeem things, but that means you're going to reap a bunch of bad things. But then once you start sowing good things, and you might be, as you're sowing good things, you might be reaping some bad things that you've sowed, but that's going to wear out, and the good things is going to be coming back. You'll be start reaping the good things if you were sowing the good. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So it really just proves God's word once again to be true.
Absolutely right. And it's not God sending you the evil fruit. It is your own self that did that. You know, just, you may have planted it and it just took some time, to ripen.
Right. Is Steve asking me that question?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Can you give me an example? Are you asking that, Steve, to Gail or to I or to both?
I think you were generally, you want specific, an example.
Example?
Yeah.
Of sowing bad seed? And sowing good seed?
Quitting school. All right, you know, and then later on reaping the fruit of, you know, getting a GED is not as good as a high school diploma, you know, and it says something about a person when you quit school, you know, it's being a quitter, and it says that to an employer. Even though, you know, you have changed, it's still, you did that.
Well,
crickets?
I understand.
That's just the only thing that came to mind.
I'm not sure I would call that sowing bad seed, but it is reaping the consequences
of an action.
Right.
Or non-action.
Sowing bad seed.
Don't technically keep our eyes on the Lord. We're preaching the corrupt gospel.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing too. I mean, how many things we do out of selfishness? How many things we do out of pride? How many things, I mean, these are all just bad seed. How many things we do on the outside of the Lord's will? I mean, it's bad seed. And I could be reading too much into it. I'd love to have Steve.
No, absolutely not, Phil. I was just.
I'd love to have Steve up here right now.
Radio queen.
No, I hear you. And I was thinking of sowing bad seed. I was thinking to myself, well, I got many examples in my life, but I don't know if I really want to share that. I don't think it's necessary to share all those things, to be honest with you.
Well, the good news is.
Plenty of things. There's, yeah, using drugs, you know, the fact of the matter, you know, when I came to the end of that, I found myself in a place where I said, I'm not a drug addict, really. I mean, you know, I have rules. I put my children to bed on time. There's no cheating. You know, everything has to be done correctly in the home. And therefore, you know, after they're all tucked into bed, then I can, you know, get high with my friends and stuff. But it's just not true. I actually found myself one day, having $15, buying $15 worth of cocaine, and anybody that knows anything about that knows how little cocaine that is.
Yeah.
It is just enough to make you want more. And I spent my baby's milk money on that. How about that? You know, and I have to trust in the Lord, you know, that I'm forgiven about that, but the good thing in redeeming it is that I saw what was happening finally and turned my life around.
You know, because we're talking about David, and that is an example. But we're talking about David, and it's interesting. Steve wrote in the chat, it says, so it is requiring the person to humble themselves and they don't like it. What happened with David when he fell and that kingdom was being ran away from. Remember that guy that says that was talking bad about David, just railing David. And, you know, and then, you know, David had his servant there. He goes, hey, you want me to kill him? I mean, or smite him? Or, you know, I don't forget the exact wording on that whole thing or how that went down. He goes, no, this must be for the glory of God. I mean, because he knew. I mean, he humbled himself to the consequence of his actions. Remember Absalom and his whole son? There was consequence to his actions, and to that seed that he had sowed, he had to humble himself, and he humbled himself against the towards what God gave him in doing that, in the judgment of that. He humbled himself through that. But the Lord still redeemed everything. And I believe at that point, David was actually, he understood the grace of God more so than before he did it. So it was still a redemption and a profitable and a fruitful thing. But he reaped the consequence, of his own actions. So it wasn't like David didn't have that. And I mean, I'll look at myself when I did that no call, no show. Let me tell you something. I went to a different store. I wasn't a manager at all. And I was there for a long time, a lot slower store, a lot further away. And I said, you know, look, praise God, at least I just got a job. And I went to another, back to my old store, and I didn't have my position back then. And, it was a good thing. I had to humble myself through these things. And quite frankly, I'm set up better than I am, praise the Lord, as far as getting these things together. But there still was that humbling self to reap what you had sowed. I don't know if that's what you mean there, Steve. That just kind of came to mind.
I'm seeing you're trying to look up something.
Well, the fruit that I gained from that experience with the drugs then was that, you know, I was so guilty for so many years, you know, that it actually reflected on my life with my children. Because I knew that, you know, to me that was just, you're not a good mother, period. And that's just one thing.
Right.
But, you know,
stick this in here, and we're going to have to wrap, because we're out of time. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, with that, I'm just going to say, y'all have a great week. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.